Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Mad Money Machine Show 158 for Friday, May 15th, 2009. Thank you very much for joining me. I'm your host, Paul Douglas Boyer. You know, the Mad Money Machine is one of the longest-running podcasts available at iTunes. Been around since 2005. Kiplinger's called it a must-read blog. That's madmoneymachine.com. U.S. News and World Report said Mad Money Machine is one of the top 10 investing podcasts. And Mad Money Machine was nominated at podcastawards.com in 2006, 2007, and 2008. Mad Money Machine is proud to be brought to you by Index Funds Advisors. Check them out on the web at IFA.com. I had no choice. I had voices. I had voices. I had no choice. They came and forced us. The X-ray dogs were here to stay at last. We try, I swear to you, to see the blazing light beneath the fog. Be guided by the X-ray dogs.
Ron Paul's House Resolution 1207 is up to 162 co-sponsors.
Proud to say that. Now, he only needs, what does that make it, 56 more Congress critters to sign on, and that would make it a majority. To do what? Well, simply make the Federal Reserve more transparent. Get access to their meeting notes. See what they're saying to other central banks around the world. What are they doing with our $14 trillion. What is $1 trillion anyway? Have I talked about this before? $1 trillion? Trillion, unbelievably as it sounds, is a million million. Is that possible to comprehend? It's easy to say the word trillion, but thinking about a million. Are you a millionaire? You have $1 million net worth? Well, that wouldn't that be something? $1 million net worth. What if you had a million times that amount of net worth? A million times a million, or a million people were millionaires. I guess that's what $1 trillion amounts to. And the Federal Reserve, I don't know, there's some number of $14 trillion has been spent in all these TARP programs and bank bailouts and things. Well, let's figure out where exactly it went. And have your Congress critter sign on to support Ron Paul's H.R. 1207. Give him a call. Give your Congress critter a call and say, hey, I support this. Won't you too? Speaking of the Federal Reserve, let's have our word for the week. The Mad Money Machine, maybe I'll make this a new segment on the Mad Money Machine, is the Mad Money Machine word for the week. And the word for the week this week, May 15th, 2009, is cartel. What does the word cartel mean? C-A-R-T-E-L, according to Wikipedia. A cartel is a counterfeit agreement among industries. Among industries. It's an informal organization of producers that agree to coordinate prices and production. You've heard maybe of the oil cartel, right? They agree to the OPEC nations or an oil cartel. They agree to set prices and production in oil. Cartels usually occur in an oligopolistic industry where there is a small number of sellers and usually involve homogeneous products, similar, selling the same similar number of things, a small number of sellers. Diamonds. I wonder if diamonds are in a cartel, for example. Cartel members may agree on such matters as price fixing, total industry output, market shares, allocation of customers, allocation of territories, bid rigging, establishment of common sales agencies, and the division of profits, or a combination of these. The aim of such collusion is to increase individual members' profits by reducing competition. Competition laws forbid cartels. Identifying and breaking up cartels is an important part of the competition policy in most countries, although proving the existence of a cartel is rarely easy, as firms are usually not so careless as to put agreements to collude on paper. What else is a cartel? Maybe you've heard the term banking cartel. Banks getting together and agreeing to set rates at a certain level, or breaking up certain parts of a region to serve certain customers, or agreeing to use only a particular provider of a source of funds and so forth, or even agreeing only to use a particular kind of money in their bank. That is all part of a cartel. And as the statement said, there are usually competition policies in most countries that, you don't want cartels because it really, while it increases the profits of the member of the cartel, it usually hurts the consumer of the cartel, all right? Imagine a commodity that's in a cartel. Usually what happens is there's price fixing on the commodity, and you, the consumer, end up having to pay more for that commodity that you're buying. Well, I guess the same thing is true in banking, and some people have called the Federal Reserve Bank a banking cartel. Perhaps that's another reason why we need a HR 1207 passed. I love getting your emails. Find out how I'm doing on the show. I'd appreciate it if you just drop me a note. feedback@madmoneymachine.com or go on to twitter.com/madmoneymachine and follow me and send me a tweet. Or you can call the voicemail line. What is it? 571-366-7121. Put that into your cell phone and to remember it. Got an email from Edward. And he says, "Hi, Paul. I've been a longtime listener to your podcast. Thanks for putting out such great shows. I'm looking for a place to set up an IRA account and transfer out of my old 401k plan. Congratulations to you, Ed, on that idea." He says he's looked at IFA's webpage and he has a couple of questions. Two questions. One, in the unlikely event that IFA goes belly up, will my investment be protected? Yes, 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 it is. It is protected because the money is in your account. It's in your account. You open a Schwab account or a Fidelity account or I think the other one's E-Trade even account. The money is in your account, under your name, under your control. IFA just has custodial transferability to move money around within your account. Okay. So, yes, it would be unlikely that IFA went belly up. But your money is in your account. Number two, why should I go to IFA instead of signing up with a better known company like Merrill Lynch? Yes, they're still around offering IRAs. Or directly to Vanguard and cut out the middleman. There are several reasons why you want to go with IFA instead of Merrill Lynch or instead of Vanguard even. First of all, Merrill Lynch, if you went with them, you better find out exactly who they're working for. Are they selling funds at a commission? Are they trying to sell you something? And what is the fee on what it is they're trying to sell you in their fund? IFA is working on your behalf. They're a fee-only advisor. Their fees are based only on the amount of money that you have invested with them, which, by the way, minimum $100,000, Ed, to get involved in that. Now, if you don't have $100,000, you can set up your own account at Vanguard and manage it yourself. But managing it yourself is not as easy as what you might imagine. First of all, when it comes time to rebalance, first of all, do you know what time that is? Second of all, do you know how you should do it? How should you spread your money across taxable and tax-free accounts? What if you have more than one account, in fact? And how does this IRA account match up and merge with your taxable accounts? How do you keep your capital gains taxes as low as possible? Which funds should you invest in outside of your IRA and which ones inside your IRA? Okay.
And how are you doing compared to the marketplace as a whole? Can you create your own reports that are precise within your Vanguard account? And Merrill Lynch's reports, I mean, what do they tell you? They tell you, here's how much money you got. You know, maybe they show you a chart of how much money your account went up or declined over time. But compare it to something. Compare it to how you would be doing in just a plain set of stocks all around the world. How much should you allocate to bonds and which particular type of bonds? These are all questions that index funds advisors, Ed, can help you with should you decide to go with them. And I hope you have the minimum amount in your IRA so that you can go with IFA, index funds advisors. But if not, well, Vanguard is, I think, the second best choice. Oh, by the way, the other neat thing that IFA, index funds advisors, can help you get into is those dimensional fund advisors, mutual funds. I just love the way dimensional fund advisors manages their indexes to get into the proper asset allocation of funds. And we'll be talking more about DFA as the shows go along here at the Mad Money Machine. So, but if you can't sign up with IFA because you don't meet the minimum, well, keep listening to the Mad Money Machine and we'll see. We'll see if you can get the info that you need to make up your own mind about how you should invest your money. Thank you so very much, Ed, for sending me your email. Anybody else have a question, either email me, feedback@madmoneymachine.com, or ask that kind of a question at bogleheads.org is the forum that you can get involved with and ask a question of the many talented, knowledgeable folks out at Bogleheads. Referring, of course, to John Bogle, the founder of Vanguard Funds, and their philosophy out there is a good one to go with. And if you are a do-it-yourselfer or you're not a do-it-yourselfer, you want to find out more about index funds advisors, let's go to rehab now.
They tried to make me go to rehab. I said no, no, no. Yes, I've been black, but when I come back, no.
Active Investor Rehab. We all need it. I even need it. As I'll describe later in this show, I'm still a latent active investor, and I'll explain why. But we all need Active Investor Rehab. And what's that about? It's about becoming passive with your investments, investing the right way, cost-efficient way. And, you know, on the last show, I can see that the lawn people are here, by the way. So you might hear a little bit of lawn mowing in the background. But on the last show, what I did for the rehab segment is I took you on a high-level overview of the index funds advisor's website. Well, it turned out so useful, I think, that I'd like to go down and maybe each of the 12 steps go through and give you a guided tour of the IFA.com website. And so just simply point your web browser to IFA.com and follow along with me as I show you through the website. There's a lot to see out there. When you go to IFA.com, up comes the menu at the top row, home, risk capacity survey, index calculator. I talked about that last week. Yeah, the index portfolios, the colored buttons there, disclosures. Then underneath that, there's more links for library, films, books, academic papers, articles, quotes, quotes of the week, what's new archives, links. Then the last row of tabs, there is a tab for each of the 12 steps. And if you move your mouse over top of one of the little buttons there and just hold it, I mean, just leave the mouse sit there for a second. There will be a menu that drops down just below that menu item. For example, if you move your mouse over the 12 steps button, a drop-down menu comes down that says Figure and Chart Index. If you're looking for a particular graph or something, you may have seen it before on the website. You know, maybe you've seen a graph of, let's say, large cap versus small cap. All you need to do is click on that figure and chart index. And I think just about, let's say, 98% of all the graphics and charts and images and pictures and everything on IFA.com website are presented to you as thumbnails on a single page. And you can browse that page and see it all right there in one step. The next one is the 12-step introduction. If you're brand new to this, that's the first thing to read is the introduction to the 12-step program for becoming a passive investor. Also, there's an overview. You can learn more about the author of the book, Index Funds, the 12-Step Program for Active Investors, which I highly recommend that you purchase a copy of from Amazon.com. You can read a preface of the book. There is a short form of the book, a short version of that on investing.
There's a PDF brochure, a print version, a PowerPoint slide, an art gallery, a FAQ, and there's a store that you can buy fun stuff like, I think, calendars and coffee mugs. And a link to Amazon to buy the book directly, right at the 12-step button. Let's move to step one. And if you hover your mouse over that one, you can see basically the structure of each of the 12 steps. It'll have the title of the step. In this case, it's called Active Investors. Then a menu that's a submenu. If you move your mouse down and just over the pages word, you'll see how many pages on the web there are for this step one, page one, two, and three. You can go directly to the quotes of other gurus that talk about things having to do with this step. Or you can look at the introduction and various sections, the definitions, problems, solutions, and even take a test, review questions for this particular step. What I'm going to do now, though, instead is just click on step one, the button itself. Just click on that with your mouse over top of it. That takes us to step one. And the first thing that comes up there is a painting of an interpretation of an active investor. It's a person with a pen in their mouth looking anxiously, talking on the phone, presumably to their broker, thinking, what should I do with my money now? What should I do with my money now? And you can even click on a audio introduction there and listen to the introduction of that. Now, let me give you a little hint. At the top of the page there, it shows you pages 1, 2, and 3, and then next step. That's not next page, but next step. If you want to go to the next page, you have to click on the number 2. Next step would take you to step 2. And so in clicking on the number 2 to go to page 2, we get to definitions like, what is active investing? Going down on the page, scrolling down, what is index funds investing? And then the third section, 1.2.3, is a comparison table between the two strategies of active investing or index funds investing. And that is a fun table to read through. I've done it before on this show. If you haven't heard it, go back through that again. Why invest in a portfolio of index funds? Because you get reduced taxes, lower fees and expenses, and obtain market rates of return because you avoid speculation through stock, time manager, and style picking. Why invest in a portfolio of index funds? Because you get increased diversification and you avoid unwanted concentration. Because you get 80 years of risk and return data for 20 index portfolios and 15 indexes, and you avoid silent partners and below market rates of return. Because you get style purity, asset allocation consistency, and avoid style drift and asset allocation shift. And why invest in a portfolio of index funds? Because you get, take a deep breath, relaxation, and you avoid stress. Well, I encourage you to go out, take a look for yourself at IFA.com and click through those pages on step one. You'll be on your way to active investor rehab. Let's play a round of the world's favorite game, Guru Roulette. I've replaced the numbers on a roulette wheel with the names of investment gurus. I'm going to spin that wheel and roll the marble, and for the selected guru, give you a little background on their investment philosophy. So here we go. And the winner this time, once again, I know he's come up a couple of times before, on Mad Men Machine episode 158 is Warren Buffett. Yeah, you know, actually, Warren Buffett is such a guru that he has two spaces on the roulette wheel. I guess like the zero and double zero, you have to have Warren Buffett on there because he's the guru's guru when it comes to investing. And what does he say that the average investor should invest in? He was on CNBC the other day, I think it was, or MSNBC, or was it CNN or CNNFN or Fox Business, one of those business channels. How many possible business channels can there be? He was on TV the other day, and they asked him, what should the average investor do? And here was his answer.
I think they probably should, just assuming they're savers, consistently just buy equity securities over as long as they have a savings period. And if put regularly, if they have X dollars a month or a year to invest, probably buy a very low-cost index fund. They ought to own a cross-section of America, just consistently bought. And the last thing in the world they should do is to try and buy and sell stocks. They don't, you know, they're not in that game.
But what about the baby boomers who have seen half their savings wiped out? It's a majority right now.
But if they keep saving money, they just keep buying. You know, I mean, the real question, that's what you hope for. And if you're buying consistently over a 30 or 40 year period, you hope that stocks go up and down a lot, because when they're down, you'll get more of them, basically. If they stayed at the same price, exactly at the same price, or just advanced a small percentage, you do less well over time than if you actually just consistently buy. But of course, most people get excited, or a lot of people get excited at the wrong time about buying stocks. They should not think that somebody could tell them when to buy stocks and when to sell them. I mean, whether it's their broker or somebody on television or somebody in the newspaper or their neighbor, they don't know how to buy it. And I don't know how to buy and sell stocks by jumping in and out of the market. What you do know is if you consistently buy stocks of high-grade companies and have a diversified portfolio, and you don't have a lot eaten up in frictional costs, transactional costs, or management costs, you're going to do fine over 30 or 40 years. Where it'll be next year, nobody knows.
Don't you think it makes sense to follow Warren Buffett, the second richest man in the world, they say? Follow his advice on how to invest. Yeah. If you've got a long time period, plop it in and keep plopping it in. And, you know, you might go to IFA.com and check your risk capacity to see just what percentage of your net worth you should be putting into equities versus bonds versus cash, perhaps. And I might even say versus some precious metals, which IFA doesn't talk about, but I do, in the Harry Brown permanent portfolio. You might have a little bit of gold. Well, congratulations, Warren Buffett. You're the guru on Mad Men Machine Show 158. If you're listening to the Mad Money Machine and you're not listening to the Paul Boyer Show, Planet Boyer, which came out just before this episode, well, you're missing out on a lot of fun topics, none of which are investment related, typically. And the reason you're missing out on it is because in your iTunes, you've got it set to download only one show, only the latest episode. I want to walk you through how to automatically get all of the episodes of Mad Money Machine Show into your iTunes. So bring up iTunes, go to the podcasts section of your library. Okay. Now go in there and find the Mad Money Machine entry under the podcast column. Find that, and down at the bottom of the window, there's a button for settings. Click that. Once you've highlighted Mad Money Machine, click the settings. Up comes a window for podcast settings. The first entry says, check for new episodes. For Mad Money Machine, you should check every day the settings for Mad Money Machine. And don't use default settings. Say, when new episodes are available, download all, not just download the most recent one. And don't do nothing, certainly, but download all episodes of the Mad Money Machine. And that way, you'll automatically get the Paul Boyer Show and Planet Boyer. Episodes to keep them all, man. And then press OK and expand. Use the little triangle to expand Mad Men Machine and make sure that all the shows in there, you've gotten them. If you haven't, click the Get button and it will download all the rest of the shows that you haven't listened to. Man, you got to go back. The Planet Blower Show this week, I think, is particularly good. So I had some good topics on it. Let me bring up Google Tasks and see what it was I talked about. Oh, I talked about my new Radius earphones. I talked about how much better Google Tasks is now. My New Year's resolution to lose some weight is going well. Talked about the new HP MediaSmart backup server and how well that's working. How well PodShifter's working. My geocache got muggled. And our poor man's screen room that we set up out on the deck. And how much we like that. So definitely go download Planet Boyer and get that too. You can also listen on the web, madmanmachine.com. Look, just scroll down there a little bit. You'll see it right down below this show, just below this show. See, I release Planet Boyer about 1 minute before I release Mad Money Machine. In order to maximize all the people that get Mad Money Machine, the bread and butter show, the stream,
But I also want you to listen to Planet Boyer 2. And I hope you will. Oh yeah, there's one more thing I wanted to mention. That's what was my active investment latency. I'm a latent active investor. I just can't help myself gambling into the market. You know, even Harry Brown, I've got his book, Fail Safe Investing, tiny little book. He says you can read it in about 30 minutes, and he's right. There are 17 investment tips in there that he has. One of the Harry Brown's investment tips is to have a, what do you call it, a variable portfolio. I guess the main portion of your money, he calls it, put it into a permanent portfolio. And then what's left over is a variable portfolio. Of course, these days, what would we call it? We would call it a mad money portfolio, following Jim Cramer. Jim Cramer basically says the same thing, says invest in index funds, except for that tiny little amount of money you can lose and you can gamble and you can have fun with and play around with it. Well, in my tiny little amount of money that I'm playing around with something pretty dangerous, actually. And I'm buying options. Remember on a couple of shows ago, I talked to you about how toxic these leveraged exchange-traded funds are and how they compound daily and with a volatile market. They're going to end up to go to zero with this daily compounding, basically. FAZ and FAS in particular, they're three times their underlying indexes, the financials index. And my goodness, FAZ, the 3X bear fund on financials, had been up to $160, $200 a share. And most recently, it's down to about $5 a share, even though in a financial bear market, the thing bops up and down, compounds daily, and ends up going down over time. So does FAS, the 3X bull financials fund. And I got to thinking, not thinking very long, knowing options are dangerous, but I thought, maybe I should play a game with that. Now, one of my listeners emailed me a long time ago and said, since these leveraged ETFs are so inefficient, should we sell them short or buy puts on them? And selling short's a little more difficult because you're going on margin there. You could lose more than what you put in, I guess, if the underlying investment goes the wrong way. But on a put, all you can lose is 100%. So I bought a couple put options on the 3X Bull Financials Fund. Bought it at the peak a couple of days ago. It's been bouncing around. It is a January 2011 expiration. And I've got to think that wiggling around over time, this FAS has got to go down to zero by 2011. I don't know. I didn't put enough money in it to really care about it. It's a gamble. It's a fun thing to watch and keep interested in it. And that's why we're all latent active investors and we really need rehab. Let's pull something out of the Mad Money Machine tool crib. A real quick one this week. This is another tool for the iPhone. It's a tool I don't think I've talked about yet. If I have, excuse me. But it's a tool that I use every day, actually. And it's the Bloomberg for iPhone tool. When you bring up your iPhone, it's actually one of the first things I look at every morning is the Bloomberg. Because I can see the news, the financial news, to see if, you know, has the world collapsed yet? I can look at the European and Asian market indices to see if they're all negative red, like 7% negative in the red prior to the U.S. market opening kind of a thing. Or look up, you know, my particular portfolio of just a couple of options and that I talked about. And I own Microsoft, PCU, and one share of Berkshire, I guess. And see how the indexes are doing and read the news. So that's the tool in the week for show 158. The Bloomberg application for your iPhone. Just simply go online, download it, and like other tools I've given you so far, it is free. The best things in life are free. You can keep it for the birds and bees. Not give me money. Not give me money, 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 money. That's what I want. That's what I want. I am so happy you joined me here, and you continue to join me here on Mad Money Machine. I'm Paul Douglas Boyer, saying it takes money to make money, and it takes avoiding the cartel to make a Mad Money Machine. I'll see you next Friday. Visit our sponsor at IFA.com. Mad Money Machine, keep it in the top 25 investing shows out at iTunes by telling a friend that you like the show and have them download it. Thank you very much. See you next Friday.